The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're having some fun today. If you don't know that theme, that's okay. You will in the next couple minutes.
That's very regal sounding.
It is very regal sounding. And why is that, Jen?
Because we're talking about royalty.
We're talking about royalty. And we are talking about
Robin Hood.
That's right. We're talking about Robin. We watched so much Robin Hood recently.
So much Robin Hood.
And not only did we watch so much Robin Hood recently, we've been living it.
We have.
And to celebrate that, we have in-studio guests, Sam Fork.
Hello.
And Isaac Hines.
Hello.
Making his return from the
last
Lord
week's
of the
episode.
Rings
yes.
episode.
Yes. So why we've been living it is we are in a community theater production of Robin Hood, or as the full title being The Somewhat True Tales of Robin Hood.
And I like that the play makes sure that you know that that's what the title is.
Yes. So,
and how it does that, you should come see it.
Yes.
You can go to riverfrontplayhouse.net and get your tickets now. We open this weekend.
Yes. So, Isaac, you're the man, right? You are.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Robin Hood.
The Robin Hood.
Very well not typecast. This is a very somewhat true.
And Sam, what role do you play in the show?
I'm the director, and Isaac was totally not typecast at all.
So the whole show is you.
Oh, the entire show is me. Yeah. I am living, eating, breathing, not sleeping Robin Hood right now.
Yeah. You're having nightmares of it, aren't you?
Well, I don't want to talk about that right now. It's a sore subject.
And if you come to the show for nothing else, her set is amazing.
Thank you.
All hand painted and gorgeous. So
I agree.
Absolutely.
And we will be sure to, we're going to talk in depth about that, but, I mean, our show is that we're a little behind.
Right.
And so we are going to be talking about Robin Hood movies.
Which I had not seen most of these.
Correct.
And having now watched them, I didn't need to. They are unnecessary.
There was a reason.
So there's a thing that we didn't include in this episode, and I'll just get this out of the way. There's like three or four different BBC shows about Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like movie length, like Sherlock movie length shows. There's like three or four different Robin Hood ones, because I was looking up Robin Hood, obviously, on Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime gets a lot of BBC stuff. Yeah, and there's just like, and it's not like it's the same actor, like, oh, it's series four of series three of Sherlock. No, this is like the romance of Robin Hood, or Robin Hood, the Dark Days. And it's like all these different, like, those are just titles I'm making up right now.
Well,
but like,
he is the Batman of Great Britain. So that makes sense.
We will be getting into that. we will be getting into that.
I mean, feel like we just pissed off Great Britain pretty bad.
Well, and there's one that we didn't watch, Robin and Marian from 1976, which is Sean Connery and Audrey Hepburn.
And,
oh dear Lord.
And it sounds terrible.
And it sounds terrible.
Well, yeah.
Robin Hood, aging none too gracefully, returns exhausted from the Crusades to woo and win Maid Marian one last time. And it's just, like, the pictures of it is just, it's a sweaty, gross 70s romp through the forest, and it does not look appealing at all.
Isn't that, like, the time period that Sean Connery was Zardoz?
No, it's actually after that.
Oh,
but
it's after Zardoz. Okay.
But we discovered that while looking this up.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Yeah,
that whole time period, we should have just sat down.
Last week's guest, Kevin Shoemaker, introduced us to that. And without any warning, he just showed us the picture. We're like, nah!
Ew.
So apparently Jen just showed Sam the picture.
No. This is still from Robin and Mary.
Oh.
So,
oh.
Yeah, if you want to see some interesting pictures, look that up on IMDb.
Okay, so, you know, I guess we'll go with these things chronologically.
Okay, in the order that they came out?
Sure.
Okay.
And the first one being 1938's Robin Hood.
The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Okay, The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
And this is Errol Flynn at his most Errol Flynn-ness.
Yes. So true.
Yeah. Like when you think of stereotypical Errol Flynn role and his demeanor and how he portrays a character, this is the most Errol Flynn.
Yeah, and it's got a little bit of hometown feel because the Sherwood Forest scenes were shot in Chico.
They were.
And it wasn't green enough for them, so they had to spray paint the trees.
In Bidwell Park.
Pretty awesome.
And then
it rained. Two Technicolor cameras, which were super expensive. That's like taking IMAX cameras now and then doubling the amount of price of an IMAX camera type of thing. They took two of them to Chico from Los Angeles. And this isn't back in the day where they had like nice planes. No, they literally drove from Hollywood all the way up to Chico. Mind you, again, before all the freeways that we have too.
They had to come up 99.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly certain that they didn't have a nice smooth ride in those cars or trucks either.
I'm pretty sure one got destroyed.
Probably.
One of the cameras got destroyed because the director's like, no, I want to shoot in Chico. And the production company's like, how about no?
I thought that was the Dark Knight that, what's his name, broke an IMAX, Christopher Nolan. They had like I think they had four and he broke one of those.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anybody's going to break an IMAX camera, it might as well be Christopher Nolan. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to say?
Oh, again, Christopher Nolan will be brought up again later in this episode.
Oh, yeah. He will.
But awesome. This episode, so this movie on a scale of one arrow to 10 arrows, I'd say that this is definitely a solid 7.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
6 or 7. Yeah.
It's got a of the Robin Hood movies, it's towards the top of the list. Because there's some real stinkers in this bunch. But this one, you know, he gives an iconic performance that other Robin Hoods have mimicked. Mm-hmm. And
it's
including
beautiful.
My favorite.
And, I mean, the costuming is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The sets are well, like, these look like expensive sets. Like, they spent some money on these things. I mean, this is during the grandeur days right before. I mean, this was the movie that kind of lends to Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz, all being, oh, movies can make money. We're going to put some money behind them. And so this kind of leads the way in that because, there are such big sets. There's such... Sam's looking at me like, I am nuts.
Sorry, Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz came out before this.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
No, I'm saying,
They came out in 35. Yeah. Like,
okay.
But it's all part of that same huge Hollywood.
Wizard of Oz was 38, wasn't it? Because they're celebrating their 80th, isn't it? Let's see. Jen's on this.
While she's on that, I think that we should make a road trip movie about transporting those cameras.
I think it's 30.
Oh my gosh.
I think Wizard of Oz is 39.
Love it.
I'm pretty sure Wizard of Oz is 38 or 39.
39.
There you go.
Really?
There you go. Anyway.
Just can't argue with him on things like this. I've learned.
So,
wow.
So, and I'm pretty sure...
Check
Gone with the Wind, too. Because I'm pretty sure they came out... Because like, I remember those being around the same time thinking, wow, they spent some money.
39.
There it is. So Robin Hood came out in 38, which means it led the way.
Stand corrected, yo.
This is what happens when you come on our show. This is like the Howard Stern show, only way less mean.
This is just every night at rehearsals.
Pretty bold. Pretty bold to, you know, attack him like that before the first break.
So coming out the gate swinging.
You don't scare me.
So have either of you seen these? Because like I said, Jen and I, we watched these to make sure we'd get ready for the show. Have you either of you seen these? So I'm not
this one.
Bulldozing you guys.
As director, I certainly should have sat and watched all these. I have seen Prince of Thieves, the Kevin Costner one.
We'll be getting into that.
A lot.
We'll be getting into that. Actually, that one should probably, I think, is next, isn't it? If we're going chronological. No. Disney would be. Okay. Yeah. So back to this one. This one is gorgeous. Every Robin Hood movie makes me want to fall asleep. Every movie. So... Almost every movie.
Almost. My favorite part about watching this movie, because I had never seen this one, but my favorite part is seeing exactly how good Men in Tights is. which we'll get to, which is my all-time favorite Robin Hood movie. But it's so good. Like, you can see the shot-for-shot remakes of, you know, him walking into the hall when they're all having their feast, and he's carrying the deer, and he throws it down on the table. That's from this movie.
Oh,
that
really?
Happens there. And so that's where they take. And you can see how Men in Tights is a seamless blend of this movie and Prince of Thieves. Like, it exactly, like, they just took those two movies and kind of played them together and said, all right, we have a new
Look
movie.
Look at that.
So, other than Errol Flynn, I don't feel that there is a lot of standout actors. The set and the filming, the way of filming and the delivery is pretty much the selling point of this movie.
Yeah.
It tells the story well, and it hits all the points that you're used to. Like, this is obviously the one that is your cliff notes that you're going to watch instead of reading the book when you have to do a book report.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'd say it's a solid 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're going to watch it, watch this one. The next one on our list is probably what I would consider maybe the best Robin Hood movie, which is...
You're going to put it on the top?
Maybe, okay, no, I'll go second.
If
okay.
we're talking about Disney, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely that one.
Here's something to settle the debate. Little John and Robin Hood running through the forest. Oodalolly, oodalolly, golly, what a day. We're done.
Golly, golly, what a day.
That's what makes it the best.
Sold.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fan, you know, and I had seen this one, but it had been a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So rewatching it was quite fun. Like, they did a really good job with this movie. It's very cute, it's very sweet, and you know, it stands up, and when you're done, it just ends because all the credits are at the beginning. Back when Disney was doing their front-loaded credits.
Uh-huh.
But even the way they do their credits is entertaining because you have the rooster there singing throughout everything.
Oh,
and
yeah, I forgot about that.
It's just so fun. And one of our so if you follow Riverfront on Facebook, we've been doing somewhat true trivia of Robin Hood to promote our show. And one of them is the song that is sung at the beginning of this movie is the hamster dance song.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's just sped up, but it's the same song.
Yeah, that's right. We just did that to all of you.
Hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, we just did that to all of you.
But if you slow it down, it's Robin Hood.
So what's great about this is pretty much like if you took Zootopia and Errol Flynn's movie and was like, let's do that. Because
mm-hmm.
it's really interesting that all of the characters are played by animals. And they say that at the beginning of the movie that it's, well, the animals of the forest have a different view. And so this movie is literally a play of Robin Hood as told by the animals. Because when you open the book opens in the beginning, Robin is a human and that rooster's at the very top. And he says, oh, yeah, the animals have a different view. And so that's where it starts. And so this is all a play put on by animals.
Well, I'm not ashamed to admit that our Prince John in the play may or may not be modeled after the Prince John in the Disney Lion or Disney Robin Hood.
He is definitely the best Prince John.
Yeah.
Of all the movies,
mm-hmm.
he's the
best
Prince
John. I
was just
going to say that, is that I've never seen any other version of Prince John where I'm like, it's not as good as Disney.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know that Little John is Baloo. It's the same actor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much Baloo left the jungle and moved to Sherwood Forest and started working with the fox.
So my suggestion to Disney, if they're making a Zootopia 2, which, by the way, they really should, is that Nick gets into a community theater production of Robin Hood, and that way they can have the fox play Robin Hood. I'm like, I just need to see this.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. So.
And then we'd have Jason Bateman as Robin Hood, and that would be just as good.
Yeah.
So,
that's true.
Done.
Do that. It's fun. It's the only one that doesn't make me want to fall asleep.
It tells the story so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no extra, you know, religious undertones with, you know, like in the newer one, it's they kind of go after Friar Tuck is kind of used by his higher ups in the church, and you're like, what is happening?
Well, yeah, and the new one is, they take it, I mean, we'll discuss that
one
too.
And it doesn't go overly political. It's just, hey, the sheriff and the prince are taxing the people into poverty, and we should stop that. And, oh, there's an archery tournament where he has to disguise himself, and, oh, no, won. Look, it's Robin Hood, and he won. It's just it tells the story with just the right amount of detail you need, without any extra scenes. It's just done. It's awesome.
Well, yeah. The newer ones they've done all that because apparently you have to do something shocking and different.
True.
Oh yeah.
Remember the old days when you could just tell a story.
Yeah.
And that's all you needed.
This one's just fun. Like I sit there, I enjoy it, and I'm good to go. So how about this one? I'm assuming you both have seen this one. Isaac and Sam. Yes. Huh? You've seen this.
The Disney one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I was waiting.
I wouldn't praise it and then be like, I still have yet to seen it.
I've seen it.
So I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to keep steamrolling bulldozing you guys. You know, you want to input on this.
I used to, I'm gonna date myself. This was one of three VHS tapes we would go to Video Village in Anderson and rent to put in my VHS when I was a kid.
Nice.
And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I also had a VHS of it, and it was in that nice white little cover.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The clamshell.
You got it.
The clamshell case.
I miss those. Good stuff. And they'd creak real loudly when you'd open them.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure my parents had to pay some ridiculous amount of money to replace it because I messed it up. I watched it so much.
That is hilarious. All right, so I think we should take a break, and then we'll discuss more in the next segment. So that is what we shall do. You are listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we will be right back.
Reminiscing this and that and having such a good time. Oodle-lolly, golly, what a day.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. What shall we do about them? Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Mm-hmm. Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and the story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Fork. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're in studio with guest Samantha Fork.
Hello.
And Isaac Hines.
Hiya.
Now, the last movie we talked about was Disney's Robin Hood,
which is one of the best.
Yeah, and so I'd give that, like I said, about 9 arrows out of 10. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm gonna go with. This one, this right here, this song that's playing, Everything I Do It For You by Bryan Adams. This is what, Jen?
This movie gets the split arrow during the tournament. Because it doesn't even get a full arrow.
No.
Because it was terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's near the bottom. But this song is probably the best thing that came out of the entirety of that movie.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, so congratulations, Kevin Costner's Robin Hood. You get the best song.
Prince of Thieves.
Christian Slater's accent was the best thing to come out of this movie, yo.
where he randomly drops the F word. Yeah.
And it wasn't scripted. He just used it, and then the director's like, that's not time period, but it's funny. We're going to keep it.
So, okay. This one, there's so many. So, yes. Chronologically speaking, this is next.
Right. This one came out in 91.
And, you know, I've never watched it until the Christmas holiday. And that's a couple hours I won't get back from my life.
At one point during, like, the big climactic battle between Robin Hood and the sheriff, I look over at Chris and I'm like, is it bad that I want the sheriff to win this fight because I like Alan Rickman more than I like Kevin Costner?
To which I said, the guy who just tried to rape the main character? Yeah.
No, other than that.
It was probably a bad thing to root for that character.
It was just Hans Gruber in medieval attire.
Yeah.
Like, they're...
So,
why didn't they just cast Bruce Willis as Robin Hood? I mean, honestly, it would have been a more enjoyable movie.
Yeah, this was so bad on so many levels.
You know, it's funny. I was a freshman in high school in 91.
Okay.
So we went and saw this, and every girl in my class was in love with Kevin Costner.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Teenagers are stupid.
So, looking back on this movie, I'm like, yeah, that's really not enjoyable in any way. But I tell you what, at the time, I was all about this Robin Hood.
But even Morgan Freeman couldn't save this one.
Yeah. Even Alan Rickman couldn't save it.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Rickman was one of the best parts in there, and the reason being is because he had his buddy rewrite his lines because they gave him carte blanche during he turned down the role twice before accepting it, and on the third time he only accepted it because they said, we'll give you carte blanche with your role, run with it, feel how you feel as the character, and then just bring that to there. So his friends, he got them to rewrite his dialogue the way he wanted to, and he tried to make it as crazy as he could, which explains a lot about some of that dialogue with the witch.
Cut his heart out with a spoon. Why? Because it'll hurt more.
So great.
So I am grateful to this movie for two reasons. One is it goes towards Men in Tights, which is one of my not just favorite Robin Hood movies, but is one of my favorite movies of all time. I can't even tell you how many times I've watched that movie. I'm pretty sure I spent a summer where I went from watching that to Independence Day, and then I just alternated them all day.
Wow, that is a leap.
Right? I have eclectic taste.
So
anyway,
I would give this movie about a 2 to 3 arrows.
Oh, no, I'm giving it the split arrow. No.
Just that bad, huh?
Wow.
Would you judge it as so bad it's good?
Or no, just bad.
Just bad bad. Mm.
And I love movies that are so bad they're good. I mean, The Room is a piece of treasure that just is wonderful.
You can tell she's been doing radio for a while when she edits herself. It's a piece of treasure.
No, I mean that. It's brilliant. It's brilliant in its terribleness. But the other reason I love this movie, I appreciate that it exists in the world.
Rephrase that.
The reason I appreciate that it exists is it is where I have my most favorite movie trivia fact in the world. Because, as our listeners know, I look at IMDb for every movie I'm currently watching, unless I'm watching it in the theater, and then immediately when I get in the car. And my favorite bit of trivia from this is that Cary Elwes was offered this role, and he turned it down because it was too contrived. And then 2 years later,
next year.
That's true, because they started filming. So the next year.
Well, didn't it come out in 92?
No, it came out in 93.
Okay.
Yeah. And then immediately went on to do Men in Tights. And I just think that is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
But also, they offered the part of Maid Marian to Robin Wright. So they were just trying to remake Princess Bride. Because Princess Bride wasn't Robin Hood enough, they had to actually put them in Robin Hood.
Yeah, this one is... And Kevin Costner got a dialect coach to help him with his accent, and it was so bad that they just told him to stop.
I've never seen that movie, but I do know that, because I've watched many clips of just...
So he just speaks like Kevin Costner, because he had started to. He paid to have a coach come in and give him a British accent that he can talk to, my lady, and they're like... No, just stop.
He would get in shouting matches with the director over the fact that he wanted to do his dialect, and the director said no. And so he would start shouting at him with his accent, and the director's like, no, like you're using it now, no.
Also, butt double.
Butt double.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, because apparently you just dashed my freaking ninth grade girl dream.
So apparently there just had to be the naked butt scene in the pond, and 'tis not Kevin Costner.
So
dang it.
So this is a bit of trivia that's technically for Men in Tights, but I'm going to share it here, because there's a line in Men in Tights where Cary Elwes says, because unlike other Robin Hoods, I speak with an English accent.
Which is a direct reference
and kind of diss on Prince of Thieves. Well, the thing is that when movies are dubbed, that joke no longer makes sense, because they're not dubbed with English accents.
Mm-hmm.
So every language had to have a different joke. But they were all very anti-Kevin Costner.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm going to share with you what these jokes are, because they're hilarious. So, in German, it's because I, unlike some other Robin Hoods, do not cost the producers $5 million. And the German word kosten, which is cost, was pronounced to sound more like Costner.
Nice.
In French and Italian dubbed versions, it was because, unlike other Robin Hoods, I do not dance with the wolves, which is mild.
That.
In Quebec, it was because, unlike other Robin Hoods, I accept to wear tights. Because Costner did not wear tights in the 91 movie. And the Hungarian version is, because unlike Kevin Costner, I have a shapely bottom.
They just straight out said it.
Straight out said it.
Pretty remarkable that on a national level, everyone agreed, let's just be mean to Kevin Costner.
Right.
He did a bad job.
He did a terrible job.
This is your punishment. You made $5 million, and now we didn't get enjoyment from the movie. We're just going to get enjoyment out of ridiculing you in a better movie.
That was bad, and you need to feel bad.
How much of that $5 million was spent on that dialect coach? And we didn't get any of it.
So, pretty much, like I said, Kevin Costner, terrible. This movie, terrible. Best parts that came out of it were... probably Alan Rickman going crazy, and the song.
But you know what? At least they had the costumes right. The costumes look good.
They did have the costumes right, and I got to step in here, and I'm gonna be the devil's advocate,
okay.
And I'm going to say, get out there and watch the Prince of Thieves movie, because, hey, everybody deserves love.
Yeah.
Even Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Well, then he went on to go and do Waterworld. So you know what? He made his own choice.
That was the worst film on the face of the planet.
One kick after another while he's down.
He's like, by the way, I've done Prince of Thieves. I've ruined Robin Hood. I'm going to go do Waterworld, which is terrible. You know what's next? I'm just going to be the postman. I'm just a post-apocalyptic guy who apparently needs to deliver mail. I am a hero. I am the hero of the future because I give you coupons.
I like to pretend just after Waterworld he disappeared until he re-popped up as Superman's dad. I refuse to believe there was any movies in between there.
Right. I think that's healthy.
It's good. Good call.
Mm-hmm. Good worldview.
But this leads us to the best Robin Hood movie that we are going to talk about tonight, which is... Robin Hood,
Men in Tights.
Yes. We're Men in Tights.
This one hits every right point. And honestly, I'm going to say it. It's my favorite Mel Brooks movie. I know Spaceballs exist.
This one's my favorite.
I'm going to step out of that conversation.
I mean, if you have to pick one that you're going to be stuck, like, I'm going to throw you on a deserted island, and I'm going to give you one Blu-ray player and a movie, and let's hope this Blu-ray player lasts you the rest of your life.
And it's solar powered, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So good.
And it has to be a Mel Brooks movie.
It has to be a Mel Brooks movie. Battle.
Well, I guess they did say favorite, not best.
Yeah.
So we can't argue with their favorite.
That's true. And we're talking about Robin Hood.
I haven't seen Blazing Saddles.
Oh.
Yeah, me either.
We need to have a Mel Brooks episode. We will do that.
We will do that. Because we need to
do... Do you want to come back for a Mel Brooks
episode? I would love to come to a Mel Brooks episode.
We will do that.
He's my man.
But right now, we're about Robin Hood.
You got it.
And so far, of the Mel Brooks movies that we have seen, this one is our favorite. It's Carrie Elwes is amazing in this.
So adorable.
It's pretty much like if you took Princess Bride and was like, guess what? We're going to make him even wittier.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the Princess Bride is like one of the best movies ever, in my opinion. There's not a single thing wrong with it. It's made for everybody. Love it.
Ever since I met you, I've heard at least 12 references to Princess Bride, so I believe you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this one, you just take Carrie Elwes and move him over. And, I mean, he looks like Errol Flynn. Like, it's perfect.
Well, he modeled his Robin Hood directly from Errol Flynn, and you can see that in his performance. But
he's just charming anyway. I listened to a kid's book today. I was looking for music for our show here, the bump music, and I was like trying to find something that was related. And I typed in Carrie Elwes, and I'm like, he's got his own Spotify. He has one thing on there. It's a children's book for 34 minutes. It's about a kid who is, like, abducted by pirates and then kind of becomes Gulliver Travels. It's a weird thing, but it's narrated and read by Carrie Elwes, and I was just like, there's 34 minutes that I'm enjoying during work.
That's a better 34 minutes than the 2 hours and 20 minutes you spent watching Prince of Thieves.
Exactly. Yes.
That's right after your endorsement of watching it. You know?
Exactly. All right, so let's hit the high points of why this movie is so great, Jenny.
It's just so funny. It's so well written, and I love that they at the same time make fun of the legend, but you can tell that they respect it. Yeah. Like it's not making fun of it because they think it's ridiculous. Like it walks that line very well. Mel Brooks is very good at making his absurdities still feel like they're real and they're worthy of your time.
Well, and the referential jokes too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love the fact that things are taken out of time period too.
I love that they send their message via fox instead of fax. They just tie it to a fox and make it run through the forest.
I have to admit, it has been. I watched it when it first came out. I have not seen it since.
Really?
Well, yeah.
We will have you watch this again when we do our Mel Brooks review.
Yeah, this is the one Mel Brooks that I'm not super familiar with, and I don't know why.
Okay.
And Dave Chappelle. It's Dave Chappelle's first movie.
Oh gosh, yes, I forgot about that.
And he's hilarious.
I love Chappelle.
And so Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves had their King Richard, which was Sean Connery.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm backtracking a little bit, but Sean Connery, of course, we said did Robin Hood back in the 70s, and so he came back as King Richard, even though King Richard at the time of the Crusades was in his mid-30s, and Sean Connery was, what, in his 60s at the time?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so they're like, no, that's fine, and he spoke with his Scottish accent, and they're like, no, it's cool. Costner's not doing British, you go ahead and do Scottish.
Well, and King Richard would have spoke with a French accent.
Right, so he's... So he comes out there with his Scottish brogue, and he's like, I'm King Richard. Well, who are you? And he's like, I'm Robin Hood. So none of this is, like, taking place where it should.
You tell Sean Connery he can't do his own accent.
That's a very good point. I mean, somebody did, wrong.
Okay, somebody did tell Sean Connery that he can't do something. Sean Connery was supposed to play King Richard in Men in Tights. He wanted to do it, but he wanted to do it in drag.
Oh, my gosh.
Which Mel Brooks loved the idea. However, he cost too much, and they couldn't do it. So, like, sorry, we can't. So, instead, they got one of the greatest British actors of all time, who I love, because I know he's got an amazing sense of humor, Patrick Stewart.
Yes, Patrick Stewart. And he did it in a Scottish accent.
I remember that now.
Yeah. Patrick Stewart has an amazing sense of humor. He's our new Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, Men in Tights is just so great. And that whole, what's that called? The chastity belt?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, what's her name? Yeah, it's Yasmin. Amy Yasmin.
Amy Yasmin.
Which is John Ritter's widow.
Right.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I just threw that fact out there because I knew it.
Yeah, the Everlast chastity belt.
Yeah. There's just so many good things. And the fact that the toilets are now going to be named John's. After Prince John. Like, this is comedy gold right here.
Well, and I like that, you know, in most Robin Hood stories, Robin Hood and Little John meet crossing a river. And that's actually something in the animated Disney version. At the beginning of the movie, they cross a fallen tree over a river. And that's their homage to that origin story. So in this one, they meet, you know, Robin Hood wants to cross the river, and Little John's like, no, you have to pay the toll. And so they have the epic battle with the staffs that keep breaking, and so they keep getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And finally, Little John falls into the river, and I say that
and
with air quotes.
And saved from drowning.
Because it's a very small little stream with barely any water in it, but he falls on his back, and he's like, I can't swim! Well, I can't swim!
Dave Chappelle's character, I forgot his name.
Achoo.
Yeah, he's like, hey man, you know, we don't even have to do this. Look, I'm on this side of the river, and he hops over this side of the river. I'm on this side of the river.
I'm on the east side. I'm on the west side.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he falls on his back, and then he flails his arms and legs. I can't swim. And Robin Hood's just looking at him like, are you serious?
Really?
It's hilarious.
It's amazing.
I'm going to have to rewatch this
one.
Yeah,
so this one gets the full 10 arrows.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, so that leads us...
Oh, and one of my favorite parts, which I... It's just great is that they're at the archery tournament and he misses. Robin Hood misses his shot. He's like, I can't lose. And he pulls out his script and he says, I get another shot. And they're like, what? He's like, I get another shot. And so everybody pulls, like Prince John and Maid Marian pull their scripts from under their, you know, from under their butts on the thrones, and they flip through the script. Yes, yes, he gets another shot. I love it.
Love it.
So now we're gonna move on to the next one, which takes place, which is 17 years later,
yeah,
and that is
2010.
And we're not gonna say much about this one.
No, because we could only watch an hour of it, and then we're like, nope,
done.
Not.
It is Ridley Scott's epic Robin Hood, starring another guy who can't seem to do a British accent to save his life, so they just decide to let him go with his original accent, which is Australian.
Oh.
And that is.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
They take the story in a whole... apparently, the original concept for this movie is it was supposed to be from the Sheriff of Nottingham's point of view to show Robin Hood is more of the villain and the Sheriff is more of like a misunderstood...
Well, yeah.
And he was going to be the protagonist of the story. And they're like, no, people aren't going to like this. Let's just make it normal. But then,
sort of.
But then he's not Robin of Locksley. He's Robin Longstride. And he fights in the Crusades alongside Robert of Locksley. And so he dies. And so does King Richard. So Robin assumes Locksley's identity and comes back to England to report that he's dead to Prince John, who is Oscar Isaac, mm-hmm. who does not look like Oscar Isaac.
The cast of this movie is out of this world.
It's just a boring movie.
Like, that's why this is the one that upsets me a little bit. Because mm-hmm. I feel like this was the one shot of, like, do you want your Dark Knight of Robin Hood movies? Ridley Scott, Oscar Isaac before he was, like, Oscar Isaac, but you had a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Like, all that. Nope.
Yeah,
we're gonna do a weird prequel-ish thing.
All right, bring up the cast list and start and rapid fire this.
Well,
and explain how good the cast is, and you're just sitting there going, why?
Well, Will Scarlet is played by Scott Grimes. For Seth MacFarlane fans, that is Steve Smith from American Dad. He's also the redhead on Orville. Mm-hmm. He plays Will Scarlet.
Also quite an accomplished R&B singer.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly.
True. So
very true.
So you have Russell Crowe, you have Kate Blanchett. Max von Sydow, Sir Locksley, who gets axed in the first act. Mm-hmm. William Hurt.
No, he's the father of the guy who gets axed in the first act.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Walter Locksley. William Hurt.
Wow.
Mark Strong is Godfrey, who is like the sheriff isn't as big of a character in this. I don't even think we got to the sheriff.
No.
In our first hour of watching this movie. Addy, who is, we know him best from...
Still Standing.
He's also, apparently he got killed off early in Game of Thrones.
No, I think he's still on it.
I don't know.
He's only been in one season.
Oh,
he's in
Knight's Tale.
Yeah, and he's in Knight's Tale. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's the short, funny one. Yeah.
He was in the Time Machine movie, too.
Mm-hmm. But he plays Friar Tuck. So he's okay. Great. I mean, the cast was amazing. The script was just terribly boring.
So boring.
Terribly boring.
Well, and this was before we knew that Ridley Scott could take all of his potential and just throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I did Aliens. This stuff's amazing. I can do anything. Okay, I'll do Robin Hood. You know what? Nope, that didn't work out so well. I'm going to go and retouch on Alien, but before it becomes a cool thing.
I'll give them something that they don't want, and then, okay, let's retcon this, and give them something that they thought they wanted, and we realized we didn't want, so it's just, he just needs to stop.
Okay, so I think we need to take another break.
Yep.
And what we'll do is we'll come back and we will discuss the brand new Taron Egerton one, which, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll discuss the current Riverfront Playhouse production, which will open this weekend.
That's right.
So stay tuned. You are listening to We're a Little Behind.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and the story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present The Somewhat True Tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Fork. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we have in studio with us Sam Fork.
Hello.
And Isaac Hines.
Hello.
Okay.
And we've been talking about Robin Hood.
We are.
Now, we still have one more movie to talk about.
Yes.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I want to get to talking about our current production.
Right. And also, I don't want to give too many... I really...
It's still a theater.
Lot of the stuff that I want to say about it is going to be spoilers.
Yeah, so... We'll suffice it to say that
We'll consider putting a online only
web exclusive
where we talk about this one immensely. Let's just say that the biggest thing that I got from this one is that somebody wanted to have Christopher Nolan do Robin Hood, and they're like, because I want to do it just like Batman, and they didn't get Christopher Nolan, so they're like, let's just take Batman and we'll make it Robin Hood.
It's true.
That's pretty much
it. It's a super mediocre Robin Hood, but it's a pretty good Batman movie. And it doesn't know what time frame it's in.
Yeah, absolutely. It's way too current for what it's supposed to be. Physics doesn't work.
It takes place in medieval times, but their clothes are very contemporary.
I really want his hoodie.
Their crusades look like Desert Storm. I mean, it's just... And yeah. There's no Prince John in this one.
Really?
No. Yeah, the main baddie is just the sheriff. There's no Prince John.
And the... not the Pope.
The Cardinal.
Yeah, the Cardinal.
Yeah.
So on a scale of... The thing about it, though, is it's fun. Like, you can watch it and have fun watching it.
And Taron Egerton is adorable, so I could watch him for 2 hours.
There's
worse ways I could spend my time.
Exactly. So this one is a solid 5.
Yeah.
Four to five.
Okay.
4 to 5 arrows out of 10.
And neither of you have seen this one, right?
No, but I have heard a number of the... opinions you guys had of it, and yeah. I'm surprised you're giving it 5.
The things that were good about it were enough to carry it to where you can sit there, you can watch it once and go, I didn't waste my life with this, but...
His archery skills are quite amazing.
But I didn't, it's not one of the ones where I'm like, you should go see this. It's one of those, I've seen worse. And obviously, just by the scale of what we've watched in other Robin Hood movies.
Good point.
So this is a very dead, middle of the road, dead
center. I really feel like the only Robin Hood movies that you really need are Disney and Men in Tights. And you can call it good.
You can call it good.
And Prince of Thieves.
Okay.
Come on, Chris. Everything I do.
The song is amazing, but I don't need to watch I don't need to watch 2 hours and 20 minutes of Kevin Costner failing at his job where I can just listen to Bryan Adams rocking his best song ever for 4 minutes.
I tell you what, if anybody out there hasn't seen the movie and they want to see it, but they don't want to spend their, Saturday afternoon, just watch the video for Brian Adams. True. Everything
done.
I do.
Perfect. Actually,
I do
it yes. for that's you. That's a better you, Robin Hood movie. Than
you
would
a much better Robin Hood movie.
I am 100% behind you on that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Okay, but the thing that we have, so we have about 5 minutes to talk about this, but we are in the current production for Riverfront Playhouse, which is a local theater here in town. And if you're listening to us online, you all know we live in Redding, California, and that's where we have this. And we are doing the Somewhat True Tale of Robin Hood, and it is, of all the movies that we've talked about, it is actually based on the one that we like the best.
Mm-hmm.
It is very much Men in Tights.
So Isaac, as we mentioned earlier, you play Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. So having been one of the, you know, finding yourself in the company of Kevin Costner and Cary Elwes, you know, in embodying this character, how have you enjoyed that doing the show?
I've enjoyed it pretty much, mostly just because of Sam and mm-hmm. her showing me just be really egotistical, be terrible. And what I tried to add to it is that he's really egotistical, but he's 100% not what he says he is, and he tries really hard. So it's very lofty talking, but when he gets mad, it goes straight to Cockney because he's bottom of the barrel. Like, he's a peasant who thinks he's great.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you were mentioning earlier you kind of have an overarching belief about Robin Hood.
Yeah, I don't think cinematically Robin Hood works.
Yeah.
Because I think it says something about it that the two best ones are comedies that don't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's a bad story. I just think cinematically we should just stop. If it's right? been this many times, if you had Ridley Scott helming it at one point and it just did not work, and it's just, we can just call it good here. Have our plays and books where people can do actually innovative things. The movies, no.
Right.
That's it just doesn't work.
That's a really, really good point. Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. yeah, even this new Robin Hood was supposed to be serious. It was supposed to be mm-hmm. an action adventure, but it was still like supposed to be a serious take on it. And it was more of a comedy than some of them just because it was so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know if it's the subject matter or what, but yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, and to make it work, like in your head, if you think of how to make a good Robin Hood movie, you have to start making it less Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's take away all this stuff, and it's like, that's what makes it Robin Hood, so it's just stop with the movies.
Maybe we should just all stick with the BBC ones, because, I mean, they know their hero better than we do.
True.
Maybe
true.
We should just hand it over to them, you know. There you right. go, guys.
Yeah, that could work.
Well, now I feel bad for not watching the BBC show.
I didn't know it existed before today.
I didn't either, but, you know,
we're going to have to do extra work.
Is there things that for people, because the show opens this weekend.
It does.
The 19th.
The 19th of January, and it runs through February 16th. So is there things that you want people to look for, Sam? Like, you know, you put so much effort into this, and there's, and you know, anytime you direct, I know, there's always things that you put in kind of for you, and if somebody sees it, great, but if not, you just love that it's there. Is there something that you want people to know, like, I want you to look at this thing.
You know, I want you to look at the camaraderie between the actors. Mm-hmm. I think that has been one of the best things. Most of the actors are they have so much fun with each other. I love watching them, you guys, because all three of you are in it, and watching how much fun and how you guys play with each other is what makes me happy. There's also, some Easter eggs in there for certain people, but those people know.
That's for 100 years from now for the scholars.
Yeah. If you can't, if you absolutely must know, the clue is fidget.
And so if you're here in Reading, you can get your tickets, like I said earlier, at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street. And, yeah, the show runs Friday, Saturday nights, Sunday matinees, and everyone should come see this. This is a great show. Like I said, the set is amazing.
This one goes right on the top. If this was a movie and seen it, not because we're in it, like I could be objective, you know, don't go see it for me. but it would go right near the top of the list. The story itself is just great. Like it plays into the things that you like about Men in Tights.
And this is the second of this author that you've directed.
Well, yeah, last year I directed Two on the Isle, Three in a Van, which is by Mary Lynn Dobson. And so, honestly, I took this script on almost sight unseen, so...
Nope, there we go. Wrong song. But this is, we're getting really close to the end. So we are going to be back again next week.
So thank you so much, Sam and Isaac, for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much.
And our website is a little behind, but I promise it will get up to date eventually.
Yep. So you've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. Good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.